A few years ago, we've had a situation where lots of people started getting really sick at the airport, and the first thought was that it may have been an anthrax attack. So they shut down a section of the airport while an investigation could be conducted. It turned out that painting was happening in an adjacent area, and the VOCs were being sucked through the air conditioning system and pumped into the area where people were getting sick. So it was actually a reaction to the paint fumes as opposed to an anthrax attack. So now Melbourne Airport are using e-colour paint to make sure that they don't have that kind of issue in future.
Look around you. It's everywhere. Paint. It surrounds us when we eat, work, sleep and play. And rarely do we give it a second thought. But paint is something that deserves closer attention. I'm Dr. Graham Phillips, and this is Leading Ideas, an original series from Ford Ranger, Triple M and Mix 94.5, helping you work smarter. On this episode, how we've been looking at paint the wrong way for a long time. The history of paint is quite fascinating. Humans have been using it for perhaps more than 100,000 years. Prehistoric folk made it up from charcoal, different coloured clays and animal fat to create their beautiful cave paintings. Eventually, we invented oil paints. But they posed a health danger. They contained lead, and that resulted in some suffering lead poisoning. In fact, it wasn't until the 1970s that lead-based paint started being phased out. And that made our wall coverings a whole lot less toxic. But as Zoe Piper from eColour says, that's not the end of the story.
So in the 1970s, we saw lead-based paints start to be phased out. In the 1980s, water-based paints became mainstream. In the 1990s, solvent-based paints were banned in Europe. However, they're still used in Australia today. And then really in the 2000s is when we started to see low VOC paints become mainstream. But low VOC is still very different from zero VOC, which is what we're about at eColour.
Zoe Piper's company has developed a VOC-free paint called eColour. So what is a VOC?
VOCs are volatile organic compounds which turn to gas at low temperatures. They're listed by the World Health Organization as toxic to humans. And common sources of VOCs include building materials, furnishings, adhesives, carpet, but also paint. And given paint covers 80% of the surface area in a room typically, that's one of the major contributors to indoor air quality.
VOCs are responsible for that fresh paint smell when you walk into a new room. Love it or hate it, some pretty interesting things can go on in your body when you take it in.
Yeah, so when you first walk into a freshly painted room, it's quite common to feel your eyes stinging a little bit or to feel a little bit nauseous or sometimes dizzy. And that, I guess, is just a small indication of what the VOCs are doing to your body. And when you first paint, that's obviously when the smell and the VOCs are the strongest. But VOCs will continue to outgas from the walls for around 5 years after application. At 12 months, they still have 50% of their outgassing to go.
Okay, so how do you do that? How do you avoid that?
So that, I guess, is our trade secret that has been developed and we use a different set of ingredients. A lot of our ingredients are the same as the major brands, but we've found a way to make a really good premium quality, high-performing paint without needing to include VOCs.
So it begs the question, why aren't all paints VOC-free?
That's a really good question. I'm not sure. Often there's a big lag time between when we find out something is damaging to us and when we take action to avoid that. I mean, it wasn't so long ago that you were allowed to smoke inside, and that was considered a perfectly acceptable practice to have people sitting in smoke-filled rooms, even in offices and on public transport. And it took quite a long time for legislation to go through to prevent that from happening. So I guess perhaps there's a similar situation going on with this.
So what are the benefits of using your paint?
So one of the key benefits, of course, is that you can reoccupy the room straight away. You can have it painted in the morning, you can sleep in that room that night and not have any concerns about smell or health impacts.
For Zoe, one of the big benefits is she's making a real impact on the health of painters.
Are you excited about the future in terms of lowering VOCs in indoor areas in general? I mean, what excites you about the future?
Yeah, so look, I'm really excited about being involved with eColour and making a real difference to people's health. We are having an impact on the health of painters. One of our original investors in the company was actually a painter who had been using the regular products for around 30 years and ended up developing cancer and switched over to eColour as part of that, and then later on got involved in the business, and thankfully he's made a full recovery. But beyond just painters, it's knowing that I'm helping the health of everybody living and working inside painted spaces, and that we're doing something to make a real difference in people's lives.
Developing non-toxic paint is one thing, but researchers are working on something even more remarkable: smart paint. One group is at the University of New South Wales, led by Dr. Anita Ho-Bailey, and they're working with a material called perovskite. It may just be the answer to the world's growing energy needs.
So what makes perovskite such an amazing material is that it's a semiconductor material, and it's got wonderful optical absorption. What it means is that we can make it into a photoactive material by having a very thin film. So we're talking about nanometers here, which is 1,000 times thinner than the conventional silicon solar cells.
In a conventional solar cell, silicon absorbs the sun's light and converts it to electricity. For a perovskite solar cell, it's that material, perovskite, that soaks up the sun's rays. So why is that different to the silicon solar cells we have today? Dr. Anita explains that
you can spread it, you can paint it, you can spray it, you can press it, and as soon as it crystallizes, it turns into a darker color, meaning it is absorbing light. And if you put electrodes on either side of the material, you start to get electrons coming out. You start to be able to extract energy out of that material.
And the applications for this material are astounding.
So is it the case that we could, you know, in the future, we might be able to paint this on the roof of the house, or paint this on the roads, or paint this on all sorts of surfaces and make them solar panels?
Yes. The next challenge is to make it durable, and to make it compatible with all sorts of surfaces. So, rooftops and even windows, facades, vehicles, devices, roads when there's no traffic jam, yes.
Not only can this technology potentially be used as paint on your walls, every window around you could also be turned into a solar panel. In theory, creating an entire city of buildings that are generating their own power. And these window solar panels could control the amount of light coming into the room and even come in beautiful colours.
The idea is to make it semi-transparent, and the idea is to make it colourful as well. So there are tricks that you can play with the optics so that to the eye it looks like a different colour. And also you can space the cell apart to control the transparency. So if you're looking out at office windows, you will see windows are typically tinted and also patterned. So who knows, you can make beautiful solar glass, solar windows that's got beautiful patterns, and you can use it to control light control and colour control.
For Dr. Anita, the most exciting thing about this technology is the hope that
we are able to generate electricity in a very sustainable way. But I also like to see that we are able to make it easier for people to use it in a wise way and energy efficient way, so not in a wasteful way. Being self-reliant is a good thing, and I think the communities are asking for it. They are constantly talking about, what do you think about batteries? What do you think about solar panels as a bundle? So people are already thinking about being able to generate electricity and store electricity themselves.
Do you think that's sort of the future, is rather than having those big power generating places distributing to the houses and buildings, we will see a whole lot of smaller generators, even individual buildings? That will be the way of the future?
I think it's definitely the way. Being self-reliant and a distributed energy generation is the way for developing countries or people in remote areas.
How far from market are you, do you think?
I hope it's not too far. Of course, there are challenges associated with this technology. For example, durability. We want to make it last as long as the conventional silicon solar technology. We also would like to take as much toxic materials out as possible. The most efficient perovskite solar cells contains lead. So, that will be a good research topic for us to take the toxic elements out.
So, when it comes to paint, look around you. The answer to a non-toxic and brighter future might be staring you in the face. I'm Dr. Graham Phillips, and this is Leading Ideas, an original series from Ford Ranger, Triple M, and Mix 94.5, helping you work smarter. On the next episode of Leading Ideas, the future of robotics and artificial intelligence in the workplace. Talk to you then.
The views expressed during this series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of Ford Motor Company Australia Limited.